I'm Nina Jaffe, and on the phone with us again is Marilyn Burns. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
I'm sure most teachers recognize Marilyn as one of the most highly respected experts in the country on the teaching of math, and she's the author of many books about math for both teachers and kids. Her latest book is called So You Have to Teach Math, Sound Advice for K-6 Teachers, written by Marilyn and Robin Silby and published by Math Solutions. Marilyn's book is filled with 101 questions that both new teachers and veteran teachers might have about teaching math. And then Marilyn answers those questions based on more than 30 years of experience. This week, let's talk about reading. Marilyn, why do you think children's literature has a place in teaching math?
Well, we know that children's stories just engage children's interest and delight them and stimulate their creativity. So why wouldn't we want that in math?
Mm-hmm. Why should teachers spend math instruction time using children's books? Would you say that a children's book should be included in a math lesson, or should that happen at some other time of the day?
Oh, I think very often children's books are the most wonderful vehicles for starting a lesson because they can introduce an idea to children and they give them ways to think about an idea in a different manner, and they also provide context for a lesson to build on. So I think children's books should not be separate from regular math lesson, but just seen as a part of how we learn mathematics.
Mm-hmm. Are there books that you feel are more appropriate in terms of their math literature connection for children in different grades and ages? And could you recommend maybe some good stories or children's books for children in K-3?
Sure. And I think a general guideline is, first of all, a book needs to be what you think is a good book for children. It needs to be a good read. So if you read it aloud to the children, it's a book that you would read whether or not it had some mathematical implication. Like, I think about a book I read fairly recently to a class of second graders. It's called Two of Everything.
Oh, yes.
And it's a book, it's a Chinese retelling of a Chinese folktale about a man who found this wonderful pot and found out by chance that when he dropped something in the pot, out came two of those things. And it was wonderful for getting a warm coat for his wife. It was wonderful for putting his sack of coins in and getting more coins. It was not so wonderful when his wife fell into the pot,
right,
and out came two of the wives. And the story is delightful and hilarious. But the two of everything, the idea of how something is doubling, gave me an opportunity to talk with children about, well, if you put in a penny, how many would come out? If you put those pennies back, how many would come out? And if you kept this doubling, would you ever get to exactly 100 pennies?
Mm-hmm.
And the children worked for a long time on figuring out this and investigating numbers,
mm-hmm,
in various ways. It was wonderful.
So somehow the power of the story and how intriguing the story is can help the teacher lead children into new and different ways of thinking about math.
I think so. I think, and children then are engaged in a way that we don't often associate with mathematics. I read somewhere that reading a novel is wonderful because you get to put yourself in someone else's shoes and walk in their life for a while. And in a way, a children's book gives children a chance to walk in somebody else's shoes or another character's shoes and therefore think about mathematics.
Mm. Some teachers say that after they read a book to the class, some children want to borrow the book and take it home to show it to their parents. How can teachers help parents use the books to its mathematical advantage?
This is a very valuable thing to do. Some books are very helpful in that way because they have at the back of the book advice to parents and adults and teachers about what they can do with the children. I know the series that I've been working on for years with Scholastic, the Hello Math Readers, at the back of the book, I haven't written the stories, but I've written activities for parents to do with the children. But when the books do not have this aspect to it, then I find it very important to put a little note with the book. Dear parent, read the book with your child, have your child tell you the story, and here are some things you might do. And slipping that into a bag, zip-top baggie with the book and taking it home is a way to keep the parents involved.
That's really a wonderful idea and lets teachers know that they can create the extensions that they need to use perhaps any book in their classroom that they think is of value or interest.
And we know parents love reading with their children. It's such a warm, fuzzy experience. They cuddle up and they sit and they have this special time with their child. They never think of cuddling up and doing math. Here's a way to get parents to cuddle up with something good, doing something they're comfortable about, reading, and stretching both the parents and the children to experience a math together.
Mm. Marilyn, here's one more question. I think many teachers would agree that children's literature can work in teaching math to young children. But what if you're teaching, say, sixth grade? Does literature still work with older students?
I think the best of children's books work because they are not only interesting to children, but they're interesting to us as adults as well. And sixth graders love to be read to and are perfectly willing to engage with the stories, even though they may not be the book that they would perhaps pick up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book that came out several years ago called 100 Hungry Ants. And it's a book which really leads to a very rich discussion about factors of 100. And it's a topic which is totally appropriate for the older students. The book is funny. They enjoy the illustration. So I wouldn't worry about that for a minute. Spend the time with a book, using it to spark off a lesson. And I think teachers will find the experience to be a wonderful one.
Mm. Are there some other titles that you might recommend for use with older kids? Are there perhaps any chapter books that teachers could use?
There are. First of all, Anno's books, which are really children's books that are not chapters books, but the mathematics in them is quite sophisticated. Chapter books, I know, Little House in the Big Woods, but that's a book for younger children. But there's a very interesting problem in there about how Mary and Laura share two cookies. There is Sadako and the Thousand Paper Cranes is based on a true story about a Japanese girl who was sick, and it's a very interesting story which pushes children to think about numbers that are larger. And so I think that there are things that come up in the chapter books. I mean, I'm sure Harry Potter's full of it. The thing is, plunge in with the kids and let them, especially the older ones who are reading more, suggest books that you might be able to incorporate for the other children in the class as well.
Right. It might even be a way to challenge older kids to think about finding math situations or math problems in books that they're already reading, maybe something like Johnny Tremaine, where they have to think, how did he use math to accomplish certain tasks that he has to do in the book?
That's true. Very true.
Thanks, Marilyn. Once again, it's been wonderful talking with you.
Thanks, Nina.
And remember, you can learn more about Marilyn's ideas and the whole range of math-related products and services offered by her company by logging on to her website. The company is called Math Solutions, and the website address is www.mathsolutions.com. That's www.mathsolutions.com.